One of the mistakes that Christians often make is that God finally brings them to a place of surrender to His will and a willingness to trust the Lord, and they begin down the path of doing what God has told them to do. And at that point, there's often that thought that, well, now everything is just going to be unbelievable. Now, every step of the way in the Christian life can be a glorious reality of God's presence and the empowerment of the Lord. But oftentimes, as we're going to see in this passage here today, there are reasons why, even after initial surrender, we don't see the fullest blessing. Because God can't do it, because He's got more that He's got to do in our life. Turn with me to Haggai, as we continue our study of this minor prophet that had a major impact at the time of the post-exilic resurgence of Israel, when God miraculously, under Cyrus the Great, the Persian emperor, was a tool of God and allowed them to go back. And we have looked at the preaching of Haggai and Zechariah and the impact that it had on Israel to realize that when they received opposition, once they had decided to start building the temple, that when that occurred, then they had backed off and just not followed what God's will was for them. And we've looked, won't take the time here for time's sake to look at this, but consider your ways. Look at your heart. Look at your motives. And look what has happened. The heavens have become brass, and you haven't had the blessing of God. And so when Haggai gives this message that they need to get to building the temple, they obey, and Zerubbabel leads, Joshua the high priest, and God's Spirit came upon them. And then we looked in our last time how they got a little discouraged, especially those that had seen the glory of the Solomonic Temple, and that this wasn't quite up to that level. And we talked about the fact that what makes something glorious is the presence of God. But now this is a very interesting little section. And we begin in verse 10. In the 24th day of the 9th month in the second year, this is chapter 2, the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying. Now we have, after his last message, a couple of months. And he's coming back to them. And so they have been following the will of God, and they have begun to build the temple and all that is involved with that. Now, a month before this, if you were to go right on and look at Zechariah, you find that he preached a message similar to what Haggai says here. So something happened. My point is this, man, what a victory. They got the courage to go ahead and restart building, even though it looked like they didn't have the permission for it, and God changed the heart of King Darius, and great miracles happened, and you would have thought it would have been, here we go. Well, several months later, not so good. Oh, they were doing things, but they were not doing it to the fullest because there were some issues that still had to be dealt with in their lives. And so he wants them to realize, the Lord does through Haggai, why things aren't going so well. There wasn't blessing. And evidently, not much had happened. There had been a lot of preparation for construction, and I know it takes time to prepare for construction, but there wasn't a wholehearted, victorious move forward. Let's go back to the text, verse 11. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, ask now the priest concerning the law, saying, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt to touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, no. Then said Haggai, I have one that is unclean by a dead body. Touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. Then answered Haggai and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. So the divine diagnosis here was that the reason they didn't have the impetus, the reason there wasn't divine blessing, the reason they had made very little progress, there were still issues that had not been dealt with. Did you know that you can surrender and still not be right with God? I've been there. I mean, you can say, all right, I'm not going away from the Lord. I want to do God's will. And then you make some strong commitments about being faithful to the Lord. And all those things are vitally important. But it's another thing to be walking in the Spirit, because you are completely right with God and there isn't anything in your life that you knowingly are holding back. And so there was incomplete obedience. First of all, there just wasn't any progress. Look at verse 15. And now I pray you, consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days were when one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the press vat for to draw out 50 vessels out of the press, there were but 20. I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail and all the labors of your hands, yet ye turned not to me, saith the Lord. Consider. So they had an obedience, but incomplete obedience. Sound like an Old Testament character, you know? Remember King Saul? A very vivid illustration of incomplete obedience. He went against the Amalekites. God said, because the Amalekites withstood the people of God, I want you to wipe them out. Everything about them is to be wiped out. God made it very clear. Now, that was a fierce people. They were known as strong warriors. And so Saul did have a measure of faith. He and the people of Israel went out and they engaged in battle, and God helped them, but he didn't fully obey. Now, you would have thought, and I actually think Saul thought he was really doing a great job. You know, he had surrendered to battle the Amalekites. I mean, that took a lot of courage. And he was trusting the Lord to help him. And the people were with him. And they won the victory. Pretty good. A lot of brownie points for that, you'd think. I mean, that was pretty good, pretty amazing. But he didn't. He kept a number of different things that God said that they were not to keep. Plus, he kept the king alive. Pride, materialism, there were things that were clearly in the heart of Saul and the people. And the very familiar verses, 1 Samuel 15:22. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. He said, we want to sacrifice these animals. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Incomplete obedience stopped the progress. God did not bless. And friends, you know, you can start well, but if you don't let God continue to work in the midst of serving the Lord, all of a sudden it becomes duty, pressure. There's no blessing. It seems like you're spinning your wheels. Well, you know, I don't know if really serving the Lord is panning out real well. This happens a lot to Christians. And they don't realize that, you know, this was just the first major step, and God has some gracious things that he's going to do to show us where we need to yield, sins that we can have victory in. Now, just let me just be very straightforward. One very obvious one, and many men here would acknowledge this. A man gets excited about serving the Lord, wants to lead his family right, wants to be involved in the Great Commission, but he's got a habit of viewing that keeps coming back. And doesn't tell anybody about it and feels that he's okay because it doesn't happen all the time. I'm telling you, if it comes back at all, it's a stronghold. And so here you have someone that's surrendered. It's that church, faithful. But there isn't blessing. There isn't the power of God. There's discouragement that sets in. There's a mechanical aspect to it. Why? There's a need for cleansing. I use that because that's a very common problem. I'm learning more and more, and Dr. Jim has certainly been a help, and I've known this, but just in his dealings with people. But when he sees some other kind of issue, he often says, there's something there, not necessarily what I just mentioned, but there is some unconfessed sin that's going on at least somewhat repetitively, and that's why that man or that woman can't move forward, and it's really true. And that's one of the things we're going to be wanting to try to formulate as we look forward to even giving more impetus to really getting down and seeing people's lives helped. We've got to have full cleansing. Aren't you glad there is full cleansing? Aren't you glad there's not one thing in your life that God cannot handle? He has given you the full victory, but you've got to deal with it, and you've got to know the principles, and that's so thankful for Friday Nights for Freedom, so thankful for other things that we've had. Folks, we need to take advantage of that because God wants to build great things by his power, but I'm telling you, you can't get away with hidden sin. And discouragement comes because of that, and that leads to then incomplete cleansing. Their works were being defiled. In the passage there in the earlier part when I read it, you know, you're offering good things, but they're unclean. You know, even our own righteousnesses are as what to God? Filthy rags. If it's empowered by the flesh, it's corrupt. And so, you know, we can be doing good things, but with unclean hands. And there really is a need to confess and to repent. And how important it is that we understand that. And we've got to realize, as the Lord said in Matthew 15:18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart and they defile the man. He goes into all these different things. And how it's not the outward washing, it is the inward washing that needs to be dealt with. So we see here that the divine diagnosis was, the problem is there needs to be some cleansing. And so God divinely dealt with them. The second point, I've already read these verses. Basically, if you look at verse 16 and 17, during this time in which they had surrendered, the temple was being rebuilt. God was getting their attention. He was not allowing them to get away with the uncleanness and it was in their hearts. I don't know all that was involved here. But between 50 and 60% of their expected harvest was lost. He wanted them to wake up. You see, the world gets away a lot of times, it seems to us, with their sins, and it seems like everything goes okay for them. By the way, it doesn't. But aren't you glad God doesn't let us get away with anything? Whom the Lord loveth, he what? Yeah, he disciplines. He chastens. And so blessing is withheld. It may not even be a major thing. It's just the presence of God. Listen, if your soul is dry, if things are mechanical, if you feel powerless, you hear the challenge here in these days. What an opportunity we have, and you just, and you almost have about yourself a cynical attitude that, you know, I can't rise to that. Well, the problem is the hand of God is not there, and there is something in your life that you really need to let God work on. Bitterness may be there, unforgiveness. There may be a habit that you just haven't been willing to deal with. There may be a way you're acting in your marriage relationship that is just not God-honoring. There may be some things that you need to apologize to your children about, or young people, there may be some things you need to get right with your parents. And you know, you may look good and you really are sincere and you're serving the Lord, but it's just not there. The blessing's not there. And this is what this is talking about. And so he withheld the blessing. As we often quote from Galatians 6, be not deceived, God is not what? Mocked. You can't fool God. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And if you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. Mark it down. But if you sow to the Spirit, oh, God's going to bless. You will reap life everlasting. You know, it's just so sad that every Christian is a few seconds away from blessing. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we will trust him, he will give us grace. If we will humble ourselves, he will lift us up. He has promised wisdom, James chapter 1, verse 5. Everything we need is right there if we are just willing to take the steps that we ought to take. And it's amazing how we are afraid to do that. You know, it's, as I mentioned, about the one issue that sometimes men and women face, but a lot of times it's even in how we handle our finances. R.T. Kendall, he was a longtime pastor in London, wrote shortly after he and his wife were married that found themselves hopelessly in debt. Tithing seemed utterly impossible to them. Now, he's a pastor. That's not a good thing, by the way. Some of the bills could not be helped, and others were consequence of imprudence. So he engaged in secular work, and he was very, very discouraged. He fell on his knees in a sense of desperation, hoping that God would give him a ray of light that would help him through. There on the table lay the big, large white Bible his grandmother had given to him. He picked it up and opened it at random to, of all places, Malachi chapter 3. And his eyes went directly to, will a man rob God? Can you imagine? And he didn't like what he found, so he closed the Bible, sat down to watch television. Just a great solution to the problem. And he was perfectly miserable. He knew God wanted to begin tithing. And he postponed for a while longer. And guess what? He didn't get out of any problems. He was just everything, just like what was happening to these people. He wasn't, even as he was trying to serve the Lord, there was no blessing there. And they just seemed like there was nothing they could do about it. But then one day, they just decided they're going to believe God. So they gave 10% of the gross, just trusting God. And though it wasn't just in a moment they got out of debt, in 2 years they were completely free and God transformed their lives. What happened? Blessing started happening. That's just another area. Folks, we make decisions and then we sort of hold them in, and yet, boy, we want to serve the Lord. We want to see people reached. We want our families to do well. But there's just something wrong. Well, the problem is there's things are unclean. What we're touching is corrupt because we are not right with God. But it's wonderful. Let's look at verse 18. Consider now from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Now, you've had all this time. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, is yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth? So it's not all happened yet. Then this, look at the last part. From this day I will bless you. You see, they responded to the Lord. They had already had the preaching of Zechariah a month before. God was doing a work. I don't know all that was going on. And we'll look one more time at this. But he said, I'm going to bless you. And when God promises blessing, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, Psalm 1:1, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So I just want to encourage you right now, not to be introspective, but if you know, things are a labor. There isn't freedom. There isn't blessing. And this seems like things are not progressing and going forward. Yet I'm surrendered, I think. Is there something right during this time that I brought this up that God may have touched you and said, you know, your heart and hands are a bit unclean. There's some viewing habits. There's some entertainment habits. There's some reactions at home. There are some things you need to ask forgiveness about. There are some habits of your spending, some wastefulness, lack of trust of God maybe in the matter of giving, or other areas of your life, and you know it's not right, and you've just pushed that aside. Why? Because you're trying to build the work of the Lord. I'm telling you, you can't do a thing without the power of God. I mean, you cannot do it. God's good to bless anyway and all, but you're not going to have the continued working of God unless, as best you know how, your heart's right with God. You cannot get away with it because he loves you. He wants to bless you. He's not trying to not bless you. He is ready to do it, but he will not just continue to do good things and make you think that it's okay to have that sin or that disobedience or that wrong attitude or that relationship issue in your life. It's going to kill you if you don't get that, you get that taken care of. So God wants to build a great work through you. But let's take this challenge to realize it's God's will to bless us, but we got to have a clean hands and a clean heart. Let's bow for prayer.